This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Harriet Rose on FUBAR Radio.
You can't get much. Yeah, I'm like, ayo, don't come against me.
Breakdown sting right back in 03.
Body popping,
top rocking,
non stopping,
straight up popping.
You're not in my league, brother, just move on or get served. Yeah. Do the running man till my chest hurts.
Run a mile on the spot, that ain't a run, that's a jog.
Yo, if you were there at my auntie's wedding,
you know it's best not to step in.
To the arena, little groove, put the rhythm in the sneaker. I said, I can't keep my feet to myself. Even though the jewels probably robbed from my ancestors or hustled from them indecently.
You got no respect.
I got a whole lot of female dogs, I got loads of pets.
Got a home.
Got a phone.
All my clothes are the best.
I got double standards.
I'm emotionally inept.
Yeah, I don't care about material goods. I'll be working on my rhymes so that material's
good.
Yeah, money buys freedom.
Smart doesn't sell.
But attention pays you when you read a book. Yeah.
Couldn't give a diffy daffy.
If it for your baddie,
it doesn't matter.
You should teach a kiddie how to be your daddy.
If you think it's uncool to be dancing foolish, forget it.
I'll be dancing like a uncle at a wedding.
Well, I got my business.
With FUBAR's very own Rizzle Kicks, cooler than this. I was trying to be cool by saying bish bash bosh, it did not work.
Yeah, that's a very cool phrase.
Oh, fuck. I was trying to be cool. I was going to say bing bang bong, but then I
thought.
No. I don't think it's very cool that I'm getting you to judge my cool either. No, but that's what I'm saying is it must be seriously weird if you're judging it.
I'm saying it's not cool. Yeah. That means it is cool, actually. So go ahead with your bish bash bosh.
Yeah. That was FUBAR's very own Rizzle Kicks, bish bash bosh.
Yes.
We're going to be playing some more of FUBAR's very own a little bit later on in the show. Mr. Michael Payne has released some new music and we're very excited about it, but we're not going to talk about it now, so stop begging us.
No,
you're going to have to wait until music news and reviews where we're going to talk about it properly.
We can mention Harley just casually appearing on James Corden's
show.
Yeah,
that's why we're playing that track. But we're not going to talk about it now. No. We're going to talk about it in music news and reviews. How are we all? Welcome to the Harriet Rose Show, here with producer Natalie.
Hello.
We've just been recording our extra special video for this week, which I think you'll be all excited to see. I mug off Nat in it.
Quite a lot, yeah.
Well, I was like, Nat, don't sit in here while we record it because you might be pissed off with me.
I'm pretty stupid, is what I've realised.
I have picked your stupidest moments on the show to highlight them.
Quite a lengthy list, isn't there? But
well, actually, I picked two of your stupidest moments amongst. But you've also had very clever moments.
Name them. Yep, that's great. Okay, that's good.
I will later. When I think
you've thought about
when I've thought deeply about that and perhaps made some up.
Yeah, great.
We've got some great new music on today's show. Namely, this first, well, not first track, this next track I'm going to play, which, thank God, someone finally did it. Stranger Things, which Nat still is not that bothered about, which is just bizarre. Yeah, she's the only person in the world that doesn't like Stranger Things. Wiz Khalifa's jumped on the Stranger Things theme tune and done a little piece for it, so I'm excited to play that next. And then after that, okay, so after that, we're playing the new James Arthur song, and I'm going to tell you why. Because he's come back, and I'm not sure how I feel about it, because of there was some bits and bobs that happened, but he's come back and he's apparently going to number one, so I wanted to hear why.
Okay.
Let's go. On. Let's listen to a bit of Wiz Khalifa first, though. Prep us.
Wake up and bake, never hate, gotta get to this cake. I never stress, but this money at stake. I brush my teeth, pray, wash my face, and thank God I stay far away from the fake. Remember days wasn't safe, now we got thousands tucked in the safe. Target practice case you wanna come and see. I take a look in the mirror, a G in front of me. Difference between having dreams and being a wannabe and living comfortably. I took my dreams and made them something, doesn't mean to die. Wake up with the same hunger, another mansion for my team, couple wave runners. Couple niggas want a spot, but they can take it from us. I'm busy smoking like Jamaicans. Never worry about you niggas. Hate you jealous, I can see it all on your face. I seen $100 bills falling yesterday. I heard them ask who fought it is, then I spoke my name.
It's like I'm talking to a stranger. Stranger, stranger, stranger. Now everybody getting stranger. Stranger, 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 stranger. I think I'm in danger. Gotta wake my game up. Stay the same, watching everybody change. Oh, now they getting stranger.
I wrote my name on the cloud, said no haters allowed. Do anything to make my tailors proud. I do a show, throw a J in the crowd. Some say I got their favorite style. You in the gang, never make it out. I blow a pound, rolling weed by the ounce. Them niggas talk, but they can't amount. Big bands in my bank account, seen it all, I've been here before. Calculate my moves, but no, it's kinda difficult. I'm always switching up and doing shit in intervals. Now we professionals, nah, we ain't letting go. Them niggas talk about what they doing, but they moving slow. While I'm knee deep in the game, it's still doing mo. This is the part where the teacher becomes a student, and you start to realize I'm the young and you need to move with. Girls run up on me, tell me they love my music. Niggas try to be genuine, I know it's bullshit.
It's like I'm talking to a stranger. Stranger, stranger, stranger. Now everybody getting stranger. Stranger. Stay the same, watching everybody change. Oh, now they getting stranger. Stranger.
So of course they wanna ride with us. You wasn't trapping on them blocks, you went outside with us. A couple 40s, yeah, you know we got some nines with us. And they can't beat us, so of course they wanna side with us. They say, if you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. I got pussy niggas hating, I got bitches pocket watching. I got blue hundreds on me in LA. I come straight from Hollywood, then I pull up in the projects, go. Hey, sorry, homie, you a stranger. One off in the head if I ever feel in danger. Started at the bottom, but goddamn it, I done came up. Chill with my niggas, they can never say I changed up. Two cup stuff, and I get it out the mud. All I see is real hate, niggas showing fake love. Giving fake handshakes, and that come with fake hugs. But I promise I'm the same, forever
gang
gang.
It's like I'm talking to a stranger. A stranger, a stranger, a stranger. Now everybody getting stranger. Everybody change, oh, now they getting stranger.
presents
Hey Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
Trump said that about his daughter. I'd sleep with her if she wasn't my daughter.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
That is just...
That should be wrong. The one reason people don't vote for Donald Trump.
It's either that or, like, there's loads of people in America going, finally, someone said it. Someone's agreeing with me.
That's the real reason he gets so much love in the southern states, isn't it? Oh, my God. You need to come and see this.
Darlene, we're in the clear. Nancy, if Trump says it's okay, then we all good.
Every Wednesday.
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Back when you were throwing up, then you smiled over your shoulder. For a minute I was stone cold sober. I pulled you closer to my chest and you asked me to stay over. I said I already told you I think that you should get some rest. I knew I loved you then, but you'd never know it, 'cause I played and I was scared of letting go. I know I needed you, but I never showed. But I wanna stay with you until we're growing old. Say you won't let go. Just say you won't let go. I'll wake you up with some breakfast in bed. I'll bring you coffee with a kiss on your head, and I'll take the kids to school, wave them goodbye, and I'll thank my lucky stars for that night. When you looked over your shoulder, for a minute I forget that I'm older. I wanna dance with you right now. And you look as beautiful as ever, and I swear that every day you'll get better. You make me feel this way somehow. I'm so in love with you, and I hope you know, darling, your love is more than worth its weight in gold. We've come so far, my dear. Ghost, 'cause you were always there for me when I needed you most. I'm gonna love you till my lungs give out. I promise till death we part, like in our vows. So I wrote this song for you. Now everybody knows that it's just you and me till we're gray.
Welcoming Marie Louise from Norell on the phone. How's it going, Marie?
It's going very well.
Great, thank you so much. Where are you today? You're not in the UK, are you?
No, I'm in Denmark. Actually, I'm in the studio. We are recording a new track today. So
exciting.
Been working all day. Yes.
Wicked. Well, you guys have got a brand new track coming out, The Great Escape. Is that right?
Yes.
Wicked. Tell us a bit about it. I absolutely am loving. I was a massive fan of Howl. I really liked it, your debut track. Tell us a bit about The Great Escape.
Well, The Great Escape is started working on it two years ago. So it's the first song we actually made together. So it's taken a while, but now it's here. And
you must be really excited to finally be getting some stuff out.
Yes, yes, definitely. We've been working for so long, and it's really nice that finally we can show it to someone.
Yeah. You're the lead singer, aren't you? And then you work, of course, there's three of you. Victor and Nicholas are the IT producers. They sort of do all the production behind the tracks. You guys met in Copenhagen, didn't you? How did it all come about? How did Norell get created?
Well, actually, I was playing back in 2013. I was at the school, and the guys was at another school, and my school had to play at their school. And then afterwards, Victor came out to me and was like, hey, do you want to make some music together? And that's actually how it started. It was really random.
Amazing.
All of it, but,
And you guys have been touring with Killjay, right?
Yeah.
We are huge fans of Killjay on FUBAR. What's that been like?
It's been so much fun. She's really, really nice, and she makes this incredible music. So,
so
it's been so much fun, and we learned a lot too from her. So it's been really nice.
Oh, wicked.
Good experience.
So what's coming up next for you guys? Obviously, we've got Howl. Now we've got The Great Escape, which is coming out on the 23rd of September. So it's out tomorrow, which is exciting. So what's coming up for you guys now this next track's out?
Well, during the fall, we will release one or two more singles. Right. And then in the early spring, I suppose, our EP will come. And then we will hopefully tour a bit in the new year.
Great. Are you going to come to the UK?
Well, we really want to. So hopefully we can get that planned into the schedule.
Well, we're really hoping to have you over here.
Yeah.
We absolutely love your stuff. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. We're really excited to hear about the EP when it comes out. Make sure you come over and see us in the studio when you guys come and visit.
Definitely.
Wicked. Can you introduce your brand new single for me?
The lyrics? What do you mean?
Like, oh, sorry. No, I just mean to introduce it so that we can play it. If you could just let us know what it's called.
Okay, and here is The Great Escape.
Thank you. Nice to meet you. Bye.
Bye.
When you get in your own way, when you care but calculate, when you hunt that fleeting hope, it's hollow. When you're only chasing you, nothing's clear, but here's a clue. If I get out of your way, you'll follow. You're just the way you are, same desire, same old pride. You don't know the great escape, still I'm drawn into your night. Like thunder deep within, when you fight, you break bones and beacons. And the sun will set again, like nothing's ever changed. When I'm out of your way, I hunt you. The world is caving in, you start a fuss about the sins. We're buried in the ground, now leave it.
Just the way you are, same desire, same old pride. where we'll tame our violent youth. You're just the way you are, same desire, same afraid. You don't know the great escape, till I'm thrown into your night. And you don't know anything, but I know a secret way to keep a hold on us, we must believe it. You're just the way you are, same desire, same afraid. You don't know the great escape, till I'm thrown into your night.
FUBAR Radio presents
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James.
Blair Witch 2.
In the group of people that go through it, they're black people.
Yes.
This film's not real. Black people don't be sneaking into the woods.
I'm telling you, I'm gone. If I hit... Are you
How many black people die in Mount Everest?
None.
Because we're climbing up fucking mountains in the cold. How many black people get eaten by sharks? None.
Swimming near them.
They've taken diverse casting too far, bruv, because black people are not sneaking in the woods looking for witches.
Does that said black person die?
Probably die first.
If they die first, we're back on track. It's normal.
Yeah,
it's normal.
It's like
I can buy that they went into the woods because they die first.
Every Friday.
Back Row and Chill with Noel Clark and Johanna James.
From 4 PM on FUBAR Radio.
Company. I just need some company.
company from her brand new album Joyride, which is coming soon. There is no release date for that yet. Ooh.
Wow.
I really like that. I love Tinashe. And she's released a couple of tracks that I wasn't that into, but that one, I'm into company.
Yeah, you are.
We've got a huge show today. We've got interviews with Big Nasty and Wild Beast, plus Divinity Rocks is going to be coming on the phone in a hot minute. And we need you to send in your Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
I find myself needing to say it like Harley. Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
I just play it whenever you say it now. I'm so quick on...
You're on it. Well
finally.
Done, you. Getting that button pressed. I kind of wish I had a button pressed over here. Like, I wish I had access to that button.
Just need to have a longer arm.
Yes, that would be really inhuman. But yeah, so stay tuned for Big Nasty and Wild Beast coming up a bit later. Also, we're going to be doing music news and reviews, where we're going to be talking about Michael Payne's new music. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about Rizzle Kicks on the Late Late Show. We're going to be talking about Skepta, obviously. We're going to be talking about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and Jennifer Aniston, but not how you think... We're going to be talking about it.
We're talking about their new single.
We're not going to be... Yes. We're not going to be gossiping about it. We're about to play Zara Larsson's brand new track, Ain't My Fault, which I'm really enjoying at the moment. And we're going to talk about her beef with Chris Brown in Music News and Reviews. So hold tight for that. After this track, we're going to be speaking to Divinity Rocks. At Fubar Radio on Twitter, or rose at fubarradio.com for your Desert Island Dicks and your last request. We need those in. And if, for those of you who are first-time listeners, last request is a banger that we want you to tell us what you wanted to play at the end of the show, something to leave you feeling excited for Friday. Desert Island Dicks is a song you couldn't bear to be stuck with on a desert island. We need them. Send them to us at Fubar Radio, rose at fubarradio.com.
No ballads, only bangers.
There we go. No ballads, only bangers. That is our tagline to the show.
It's catchy.
Up next, Zara Larsson, It Ain't My Fault.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh my, oh my, oh my. Oh my, oh my. It ain't my fault you keep turning me on. It ain't my fault you got me so gone. It ain't my fault I'm not leaving alone. It ain't my fault you keep turning me on. I can't talk right now, I'm looking at a lock. What I'm seeing got me feeling kinda shocked right now. Couldn't stop right now, even if I wanna, gotta get it where it's right now. Oh my God, what is this? Want you all in my business, baby, I insist. Please don't blame me for whatever happens then. No, to be rude, but I look so damn good on ya. Ain't got time right now. Miss me with that, what's your name? Your Sayana. It's light outside. I just called an Uber and it's light outside. Oh my God, what is this? Want you all in my business, baby, I insist. Please don't blame me for whatever happens then. No, I can't be responsible if I get you in trouble now. Yeah, that's for sure. So if I put your hands where my eyes can't.
on the phone right now. How's it going?
Hey, lady, what's up?
Are you all the way in the US right now?
I am staring at the New York City skyline
right
now.
Oh, my God. I love it when these interviews are transatlantic. It makes me even more excited.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, right?
How is the weather in New York? Is it looking nice?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The Hudson is, like, glass, and the sun is shining. A little bit of haze, but it's going to be a beautiful day, you can tell.
Well, I'm very jealous because New York is one of my favorite cities in the world. Well, thank you so much for coming to have a chat with us. We're going to be talking about your brand new album. You pronounce it I'm Possible, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because it's obviously a little play on the words impossible, I'm possible. Tell me where that came from.
Well, you know, I think that when you're an independent artist, especially as a female independent artist,
yes,
sometimes people think that what you're doing is completely impossible.
Yeah.
To release your own album, record your own album, produce your own album, write your own album, and get it out there and perform and say what you want to say and not have other people telling you what to write. And so, you know, I just wanted everybody to know that I was possible. And I want to inspire other people that what their dreams are and what their aspirations are possible too.
And I think that's really important right now, especially as a woman, to be doing that in the music industry, because us women need to stick together and all be possible right now.
Yes, ma'am.
So you started off your career with focusing on the bass, right? That was your passion at the beginning, playing bass.
No, actually, I was an MC first.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was an MC first. I didn't start playing bass until I went to college.
So tell me a bit about MCing.
I started MCing when I was about 12 or 13.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, man. I had a hip-hop group in high school, and we used to do shows around. And we actually opened up for a lot of the hip-hop artists who would come through Atlanta, because that's where I'm from.
Yeah.
And then I went off to college and picked up the bass and fell in love with the bass. And, man, my whole life just kind of opened up after starting to play bass.
Well,
I started touring with Victor Wooten. Yeah, it's amazing.
You've toured with some pretty incredible people and played with some pretty incredible people, including Beyonce. We can't not mention that stage of your career. I mean, tell us a bit about that. Did you have a lot of fun touring with Bey?
What? Yes, we had a blast.
Did you find that she was helpful to you for your own music whilst you were working together? Did you guys kind of link up in regards to chatting about that your personal stuff, your personal music? Oh no, we've lost the feed. We're going to try and get Divinity Rocks back now, but should we play We Are while we're waiting? Perfect. We're going to play We Are right now.
What's the color of love? Greens and yellows, hues of blues, the world is yours. This is the feeling we get when we know that we're floating above. My heart is pounding with passion beat. You feel it in yours? You feel it in yours? The things is in my hands, if I poured it into love. Ain't no telling what I'ma get back if I won't get it back and you feel the buzz. And who am I to judge? I only come from love. We are traveling now at the speed of life. Can't you feel the rush? Will love really conquer all? Is a gun really worth the fall? Are we all so afraid of what we don't understand that we're willing to shoot without cause? What if you were that one, the one that could change the course? Would you step into your greatness? Would you? Can you feel the force? Through the limit, my feet is on the ceiling, so of course I'm feeling lifted. My head is in the clouds, I can't feel the ground. I was racing through the past, but the future's here now. One beat, one heart, one life, one love. One of you plus one of me equals one way for long, for long. My heart is pounding with passion and beat. You feel it in yours?
you feel it in yours. Will love really conquer all? Is a gun really worth the fall? Are we all so afraid of what we don't understand that we're willing to shoot without cause? What if you were that one, the one that could change the course? Would you step into your greatness? Would you? Can you feel the force?
Rocks, we are. We just had to dip out there because we lost you. Have we got you back?
I saw that. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we're back.
But we've just had a lovely boogie in the studio to your track, so it's all good. It's all good.
Nice.
So before we have a little chat about that, we were just discussing about. I just asked you. I didn't know that you heard the question about when you were touring with Beyonce. Did you kind of chat together about your own projects? I mean, I can't imagine you had a lot of time with taking the tour around the world, but did you find that she sort of inspired you with your own music?
Well, absolutely. I mean, she inspired me just by being around her. I mean, she is the queen bee, and
yes.
She works so hard. You know what I mean? She works so hard, and she puts everything she has into it, so that definitely was part of the inspiration.
Yeah, and obviously you've toured with and you've played with so many great artists that it must sort of like just make you your repertoire even more super and incredible when you're sort of making your own music, because you've dipped into other artists' lives and worlds to kind of form your own thing. Is that how it started, with playing with other artists? It just gave you the fuel to want to make something of your own?
No, actually, I was making music before I played with other artists. So
you've been doing this since day.
Yeah, so, you know, I always had my own identity and had my own idea for what I wanted my art to be like and how I wanted to, what I wanted to say to the world. So playing with other artists was just kind of icing on the cake.
Yeah. And I can't help but note about your performance at the White House for President Obama that you did with Beyonce. That must have been incredible. Did you get to meet the man himself?
Oh, yes. We did get to meet the man, take pictures with the man, shake his hand, all that good stuff. Yeah, that was pretty. That was probably one of the highlights of playing with Beyonce. I mean, we played the Grammys. Saturday Night Live was definitely a highlight.
Yes.
She did the single lady skit, you know.
So incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've had some great times. And we've had some great times in London with Beyonce as well.
London's a great city. We want to have you back.
Yes, it is.
Are you going to be
coming? I'm coming.
Oh, wicked. Well, first, before we chat about touring, tell me a bit about We Are, because it's sort of, I think it's come at a really good time, because it's a very positive song and it gives off really sort of like good vibes that we kind of need in the world right now. Can you tell us a bit about what the track means to you?
You know, with everything that's been going on, every day we wake up and we see and hear about some ridiculousness, some tragedy that's happening, and honestly, I really do feel like we are the ones who are going to make a difference, each and every one of us, in our everyday lives.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how the track came about. I had a professor at UC Berkeley when I was studying. I studied poetry there with June Jordan. And she used to say to us, if we had 2 minutes to say anything to the world, what would we say?
Mm-hmm.
What would we write? And she wanted our art to be based on that. And she actually stood in front of the UN and read a poem. And in the poem, she said, we are the ones we've been waiting for.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she was definitely a huge inspiration. And I feel like it resonates today. It'll resonate 20 years from now. It's just one of those messages that we all have to really take to heart.
And do you feel that that is something that runs through the whole album, or does this track stand alone? I can imagine with a name like I'm Possible that a lot of the tracks have this sort of positive emphasis on them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that's just the basis of my artistry, you know, having something positive to say and meaningful to say, and for people to walk away from the music feeling empowered and feeling inspired.
And what's your sort of, obviously you've made this album, you've been working in the music industry for a long time. What do you feel were your main influences for making this music? Because I feel like you've had so many, your career has been so amazing and you've done so many different things. There must be sort of a big range of influences for this one.
Absolutely. I mean, from, you know, this album for me, I went back to the basics of the music that I love. And I went back to the soul and raw hip hop and funk elements and jazz elements of my history. So I think that I had to just really just strip down everything that I had been done, I've been doing and had been exposed to, and just get to the meat of who I am in this music. So I think that was my biggest inspiration for making this album. I listened to a lot of The Internet. I really like that band.
Oh, I love The Internet. Yeah, they're wicked.
Yeah, I love that band. Yeah, I love them. I listened to a lot of old hip-hop, too.
Yes.
When I was making this album, you know, going back through the archives, 90s hip-hop, because that music had a message, you know, and I wanted this album to have a message, so... Yeah.
And it definitely does. What's talking of getting back to live performing? So you are coming to the UK. Will you be doing some live shows?
Yes, I'm going to be doing some clinics at the BIM schools, but I am playing the London Jazz Cafe on Tuesday the 27th. And we were talking about Beyonce, so what's really exciting about coming and playing the Jazz Cafe is I'm playing it with one of the drummers who toured with Beyonce with me, Nikki Blassie.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, incredible musician, and she was probably responsible for getting me in, you know, a little trouble as we traveled around the world. Some of those fun late nights often included her.
Oh, well, this would be good. We're definitely going to come down to this gig.
You should definitely come. I mean, the live show is like, the album is one thing I can't stress enough. Like, the album is really amazing and you get the energy.
Yeah.
But seeing the show, me playing bass, rapping, singing, soloing, performing, there's absolutely nothing like that. I mean, you don't often see bass players as the front people in the bands. I mean, there is a very famous Englishman that I can think of, but you definitely don't often see women as bass players and leading the band.
Not at all, no. And also, it's great to break the mold in terms of, as a woman in the music industry, we need to break the mold to make it, you know, a more accessible industry for us, really. So people like you are helping women to become more in the spotlight for that, you know, for doing something different.
Yeah, man, I think what Beyonce did with the all-female band definitely did that.
Yes,
too. I
100%.
Mean, there's so many, yeah, somebody mentioned that there's so many young female musicians coming up in the world, and a lot of it has to do with her, you know, showing them that it's possible.
And it also, the presence on stage of her with a full female band is so big. Like, it's just like even
it's
more
powerful.
Yeah, it's so powerful. So, so powerful. What's your favorite thing about performing live?
Connecting with the people.
Yeah.
Connecting with the people. You know what? The one of the biggest things for me is having people who don't really know my music in the audience.
Yes.
And watching them transform from being like, okay, who is this? What is this? What's going on? To having their hands in the air screaming and clapping like, yo, this is amazing. I had no idea who you were or what you were going to do, but this was great. So I really love that feeling, having people just turn around.
That must be that must be incredible. Well, before you go, we play a little game on this show. It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And it's based... yeah, it is dicks. A lot of people think they've misheard me, but they haven't.
You said dick.
Yeah. Yeah, and now you've said dick, so we both said dick.
Okay.
We're in the same boat now. So in this game, it's based on a really famous game in the UK where you pick tracks that you're going to be taking with you to a desert island. But I'm sending you to this desert island with one awful song that you cannot imagine being stuck on a desert island with. So it could be a song that just irritates you, or perhaps you love it, but you know if you heard it over and over again on a desert island, you couldn't deal with it. So Divinity Rocks, what would be your desert island dick?
Oh my goodness. It would have to be wow.
It's a toughie. Man. It's a toughie.
Yeah, it's a toughie.
But it's usually, you have to remember as well, it's not offensive to say it's anyone, because actually I think most songs on a desert island would be pretty irritating after a while.
Yeah, but I think the one that would really start to get to me is I got a big butt and I cannot lie.
Yes. When a girl walks in, whether anybody waits. Yeah, yes. That is. I can't even remember who that's by, but. Huh? Oh, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Yes. Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yeah, man. That one right there. Oh, man.
Nah. Well, I concur, Divinity Rocks. I concur. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We look forward to come down and see you at the Jazz Cafe when you're over
in
the UK.
All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Wicked. Thank you. All right, nice to meet you, sweetheart. Have a good day.
All right, you too. Peace.
Bye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Don't want your heart, don't want your love. I want the head, I want the tongue. Who put the pussy in the coffin? Then make it rise to God above. You would be down on all occasions. I fuck the sense about your bank. Don't call me common, call me crazy. No need to thank me, yours for the taking. And yeah, would you know it? Good love in the morning. Only one way to show it. Turn around, let me go in. Let your head down. Just like this. Poke your back out. Just like this. Talk dirty to me. Just like this. Everything you do, or when you do it. Just like this. Say my name loud. Just like this. Now pick your legs up. Just like this. Everything you do, or when you do it. And I'm the favorite. Keep on your heels, take off your leggings. Who turned you on and crawling begging? Who told your mom you'd have my baby soon? I won't be long, I won't be brief. You at your peak is all I need. Something to hold you for the long run. Come get this awesome, won't you take it off of me? Yeah.
What you know?
Good love in the morning.
Good love in the morning.
Only one way to show it.
Say, eye contact.
Just like this.
Bring your arms back.
Just like this.
Take the whole thing.
Just like this.
Everything you do, or when you do it.
Just like this.
Say my name, love.
Just like this.
Now pick your legs up.
Just like this.
Everything you do, or when you do it. Yeah. Everything you do, or when you do it,
yeah, yeah.
Hey,
good love, I'm one way.
Say,
I turn around.
Hey,
FUBAR Radio presents
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
It's good enough for you, it's good enough for me, it's good enough for two, it's what I want. Sick!
We're joined by Matthew Priest from Dodgy.
Fubar's got a good thing going on there, man.
Yeah, we have so much fun, and it's so good, like, you can just hang out, and we can say cock shit balls, and it's totally fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Whatever you want. Do you want to have a shot?
What, cock shit balls?
Whatever you want. You can get wilder than that if
you want. Yeah. Well, I've been slipping in the F-bomb as we're going to London.
Yeah, man.
No one's been pulling me off.
Not yet.
Every Friday.
The Friday Social with Hugh Joseph and Michael Payne.
From 1 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Mike, he was writing again. Written with an iPhone 5, not a pen. Don't use them, but I do.
scrape pennies. Don't use paper because I don't make any. So broke is becoming a joke. Joke is I got fired and I can't afford something to smoke. I'm in the club with no money to throw. I have to warn ya, never make it rain. My dough's like California. And I'm not pushing the cold Atlanta, Georgia. So I can't talk about snow like an informer. If you see me shutting, then you're definitely mixed up. Only gram I've got is at the end of my Insta. If you relate to that, then I'm a relative with ya. And if you say snap, then you're getting the picture. And even though I drop these pain bars, my life's more minimal than a small shopping centre.
Comfortably Poor. Now that is his brand new single, which comes with a B-side, Dirty Food. And if anybody doesn't follow Michael Payne on Instagram, I would be shocked and appalled. But if you've been following it recently, he's been doing some very lol videos to promote his brand new single. I absolutely love that track. The lyrical prowess of this chappie is tantamount. Is that a right word? Is that a word?
Tantamount, yes.
No, it's the wrong word.
Like
I mean like really good, but in a posh word.
Amazing posh word, super duper.
You're shit at that. So good. Mr. Michael Payne has released that single. Go and check it out, and check out Dirty Food as well, the B-side, and you can stream it on Spotify, buy it on iTunes, all of the above. And also go and follow him on social media and watch his Instagram videos regarding his new singles, because they are brilliant. As you know, he's a pun tastic master, and he does very well with his videos.
He loves a pun.
He loves a pun.
Who doesn't?
It's interesting, actually, watching, because obviously he's a good friend of mine anyway, but so I followed him on Instagram for ages. But he's like he's prolific on Instagram, because he does all his fun, like, what are they called? When you make a joke out of, I'm really stupid, I don't even know what they're called.
What?
When it's like a pun.
Pun yes.
And fun with puns.
When
you see people that are like, do a lot on Instagram, when Instagram video started coming out, it was really exciting to like, well, not exciting, it's really mean of you, Instagram, to mug Snapchat off so hard, but It is actually quite fun to see people that are usually you only see pictures, then you see, I mean, obviously I see him in real life all the time, but you know what I mean? Like, it's quite fun bringing element in.
And if you don't really want to see a person in real life, it's good now. You don't have to. Just go to Instagram.
And you can just look at videos of them.
Yeah, just get rid of a friend quite easily that way.
Can everyone please go and buy Comfortably Poor? Because if you don't, you're a fucking idiot, because it's a banger.
Yeah, yeah.
The reason I like it is because it's like one of those tracks that you can listen to on a night out, but you also can listen to while you're chilling. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's got the right kind of BPM, you could say.
Correct.
I'm a DJ, actually. Did you know that?
I did know
I know
that.
About BPM, so...
And once you hear it once, it's in your head.
Yes.
And never leaves. It's there. Which is
but that's
thing.
What he always has, the hook on his tracks. Like, The
yeah.
Godfather, all the tracks where he has that hook where you're singing along to it for, like, hours afterwards.
I have been. I will be.
You will be.
Just
don't
today.
Sing that. I think it's best for everyone.
Okay, fine.
It's best for everybody that you don't.
I think I've got a good voice.
So check that out, Mr. Michael Payne. Also, we had Harley Sylvester's track from his band Rizzle Kicks on at the beginning of the show. They played on the Late Late Show with James Corden. But they're back in the day mates with James. And now he's off, gone over to overseas, to America, smashing that show.
Yeah.
It was just amazing to see British, like proper British artists on such a huge show, you know.
Yeah, prime time.
It's always weird because, like, we're not in America. We're a different country, so it's just...
We're definitely not
did
in
you
America.
Know that?
I wasn't
nah.
sure, but I'm glad that you've told me now.
Well,
I'm,
you didn't know what water polo was when we talked about
okay,
it.
Okay, well,
so
it's not...
You thought that water polo was swimming horses.
Yeah, and I'm still... Even we had a little discussion about this earlier. I don't think it's that crazy to think that.
I think it's completely crazy. But anyway,
okay,
that's
fine.
Why I try
fine.
And explain things fine. To you, because I'm scared that you might be like, what do you mean? Like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, Skepta.
Mm.
We haven't been together, you and I. Not me and Nat, we've been together. But you and I, listeners, since he won the Mercury Prize.
Mm.
What a night. I mean, I didn't go, but it looked like it was great.
Yeah, literally good.
So excited and happy for him. He deserves it so much. Oh, my God. That guy is taking over. Like, he's... I would say, for me, one of the biggest UK artists right now for me, end of...
Well, there was a lot
taking over the music scene.
Yeah, and there was a lot of love. Actually, Wild Beast, who we were talking to Tom the other day, who's going to be on the show later.
Yeah.
They tweeted about really happy about Skepta.
Everyone
winning.
Did. There was not one person that didn't think it was right and deserved. Even the other people nominated were like, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
You know, he's smashing it. Drake loves him. We love him. Yeah. Everybody else loves him.
Well, Mercury Prizes can be an odd one, because there have been years where you've kind of gone, really? Okay, that's the winner. And sometimes they do pick someone that you're like, oh, that's interesting. But for this year, I think...
Last year it was Benjamin Clementine, wasn't it?
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, so it was Benjamin Clementine, who's a completely different kind of artist, but very talented, very, very talented man.
Yeah.
But interestingly, slightly different, like completely different vibe to Skepta in terms of his music and the style and like everything. But you can see the like core values of an artist that quite clearly writes everything himself, quite clearly sort of has a real, you know, personal input into his work. Because, you know, the music industry has got a lot of people that don't do that.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. I was sort of wondering with the Mercury Prize whether everyone's happy for Skepta, apart from possibly like record labels who are a bit like, oh.
But you say that, but when we had that chat with MIA and she talked about leaving, you know, her record label were there at the time, you know, listening. And I think they understand, you know, that people are... It's not that all artists are going to leave record labels.
No.
It's that bigger artists can leave record labels, and I think that's the difference.
Yeah.
Record labels are still going to be the, like there to break artists and help up and coming ones. But yeah, it must be pretty scary for them.
I think so. And we're having quite a few people come through here who are, you know, self-releasing stuff and have no plans to go with a label, really. If they would rather do it themselves.
Yeah, and there's actually, weirdly, labels that aren't labels that do that, that release for you.
Yeah.
But aren't record labels, and they don't give you... Basically, it's for people who can afford to put the music out themselves as opposed to getting, like, an upfront amount of money to do it. But it was just really exciting, and I love Skepta so much. I told you about when I saw him in real life, right? And he was wearing a pink polo shirt, and I literally nearly melted. He's so fit. But we shouldn't be talking about that. We should be talking... Obviously, his music is amazing as well, but that just goes without saying.
Shouldn't sexualise him, but yeah, he is.
I mean, Nat, you sexualise every single guest that we have in the show. I mean, the only time you haven't sexualised the guest is when we've got them on the phone, which is today.
No, I think you'll find, even with some of the ones today, I've definitely done that as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true. You have managed to break the boundaries and sexualise the guests that aren't even in the studio.
Yeah, I did do that.
She's talented, guys.
Thank you.
She knows what she's doing. Wanted to talk a bit about Brad and Ange for a sec.
Sure.
Only a hot sec.
Okay.
Because I saw Jennifer Aniston post it. Obviously, we were all a bit like, about it. But Jennifer Aniston said something very amazing that I think we should all share, which is, shut the fuck up about this situation. A guy was just shot. You know, this is what she said in her, in this, she was asked for, I think she was asked for a comment on it. And she just said, why the fuck are we talking about this when a man with two kids was shot dead yesterday by a policeman when he was unarmed with his hands above his head? Why are we talking about someone getting divorced and this horrendous situation when this horrendous situation has just happened and no one is paying any attention to it? And it really hit home for me in terms of how silly it is that we, that, and also upsetting that the press aren't picking up on the things that really matter.
No, it's very true. I've actually applied to be a nanny to the children. I feel like there's a vacancy coming up for that. So
yeah,
I might,
there definitely is.
Not be here every Thursday.
You can go, babe.
Thank you.
Thanks. You can go. But big love to Jennifer Aniston for being an absolute babe.
Yeah.
I think that was a good thing to come back with. And also, she, you just know she's an all-round great person.
I think she is. I think it was kind of weird. It's not, and it is newsworthy and it's not newsworthy, but when they were talking to Clooney, George Clooney, CNN, I think it was, about something else to do with a way more important issue. And
they were talking about Amal Clooney's case when she's fighting ISIS at the moment.
Yeah. And then they just dropped in about, you know, Brad and Angelina, and on camera, his first reaction. And I thought, well, that's a bit of a shitty thing to do. But that is what the news
people
do.
What did they do?
They asked
what did
him,
he do, sorry?
He said, well, what are you talking about? What about them? And they said, well, they're getting divorced. And he just went, "What? I didn't know that. I had no idea. Didn't know anything about this. That's really sad. But I mean, that's kind of their jobs, isn't it, to do things like that?
Yeah, but it's just a bit like, I mean, we don't really actually do that kind of, that doesn't happen that often in terms of like presenters doing that on air to people in the UK. Like,
no.
It's very much an American thing to drop that kind of thing, like to ask the questions that are like quite offensive or quite like,
yeah.
Because I can't imagine, in the past people have asked me to ask questions that are stoking the fire, making someone say something, and I just don't do it because I don't feel, unless I feel like it's something I'm interested in asking them about, or I feel that it's like really important to ask them, i.e. you know, it's a subject that needs to be discussed, I'm not really.
No, because I don't think you want to ask a question of someone that you think is designed really deliberately to upset them or anger them.
Yeah, but I don't. But people seem to love doing
it. They do.
I've seen like American TV presenters that literally relish that stuff.
Well, American TV is very different to his news channels in that they're totally allowed an opinion. So when I was there and I was watching it, and I can't remember what case it was, but this woman, Nancy Grace, was just going like, well, obviously he did it. And I thought, what
the
there's, hell?
There's also openly, which doesn't really happen. Well, I'm not sure, it might happen a little bit, but there's like openly racist presenters and openly homophobic presenters in the US
would,
that talk about.
I don't think they would say they were openly.
No, they say stuff like, you know, in support of Donald Trump, the biggest dickwad in the history of the world, just saying that on record there.
Yeah.
And they say things like, oh, you know, they probably did this because of blah, blah, blah. And it's like completely racist and they just have no qualms about saying it.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's horrendous.
And they can do it because the press laws are very different here over here. No one
you
could do that
know.
Here.
But also, thank God, like, you should not, like, you shouldn't even think that shit. I mean, I watched a video that someone posted about Donald Trump, people at a Donald Trump rally, and it was the fucking stupidest thing I've ever seen. They were like, so why do you think that, because basically they were saying that Obama is a Muslim who wasn't born in the US and also is basically an ISIS.
I think that's the birthers, isn't it, the move that's what I think they're called, that are questioning people's origins even though it's obvious, because obviously Trump says,
well, no, this is the best thing, it was an American joke TV show that went and interviewed them, and he was like, so what evidence do you have that Obama wasn't born here? Well, you know, we've read it on Twitter. And then they were like, okay, cool. So you know, what would make you believe that he was born here? They were like, well, you know, someone that was maybe there for his birth. So he was like, oh, okay, so what about his mum? And they're like, well, no, because, you know, she's biased. And so he was like, okay, cool. So you think that Donald Trump was born here, yeah? And they were like, yeah, definitely. And he was like, why do you think that? And they were like, well, because, you know, we know he said he was. You know, we know he is. You know, he said it. And they was like, right, so do you trust what he says and what his mum says? And they're like, yeah, totally. And it was like, right.
Well,
so it just was really scary to listen to people I have no proof as to why I'm saying this, but this is what I believe.
Well, I think if Donald Trump gets in, I know he's really anti-immigration, people coming in. I don't think he needs to worry. There'll be more people trying to leave the country if he gets in than come into it. So I think that he'll be fine.
You're fired, Donald Trump.
Really?
You're fired. Fucking
awful.
Dick.
Awful.
Anyway, moving on.
Got
from,
political there.
Sorry,
I liked it.
I apologise. I just really wanted to talk about how irritating Donald Trump is. Also, I loved Justin and Harley's little promo thing then where they talked about Donald Trump. That was incredibly funny.
Oh, yeah, from Payne and Sylvester Incorporated.
I really enjoyed that chat from them.
They do a very good
show. I like it when we play. That's my favourite of their
trails
at the moment.
So far, yeah.
I love it. Chris Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Zara Larsson, and I'm not sure why, because it seems quite random. Not that she doesn't like him, because obviously there's obvious reasons why we think she doesn't like him, but she just is openly hates Chris Brown and like regularly is just like, I really hate Chris Brown. Mm. And I just wanted to talk about that because I think it's quite interesting. Like, quite also, I kudos to her for airing her opinion about, because he's a big artist, isn't he?
Yeah,
who did some bad things.
Very bad things.
And a lot of people are scared to be nasty about him, and I kind of.
But people get shit if they work with him, so it's.
Do they though? Because recently, like a lot of people have been working with him, and also Rihanna sort of said, like, guys, this is my situation, and I've moved on from it or whatever. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting that Zara Larsson, quite random, but she does not like Chris Brown.
Is she getting any shit for it though on Twitter or wherever?
Yeah,
she's
because
his
she put someone put it on Instagram, one of her fans put it on Instagram or something. Chris Brown got tagged and then Chris Brown commented on it being like, she's a dick.
Right, okay.
Which was obviously a great comeback. It actually wasn't she's a dick, it was something even better than that, like, who is this?
Yeah, who is she?
Yeah, anyway, her new single's great.
It is very good. That's kind of a bit like the situation, I don't know if you know, but with Michael Payne and Iggy Azalea, because he,
no, tell me.
Well, because he has talked about it, so I'm not saying that he's not the biggest fan of hers, but he...
Iggy Azalea?
Iggy Azalea, yeah.
Not Azealia Banks?
No, Iggy Azalea.
Right.
And also Azealia Banks, we've talked about her on Payne's episode.
Yeah.
But so he tweeted when Fabric was closing that, although he's sad about it, it was the kind of when he was last there, when she was there. So it's not all bad, basically, to the effect. So it's not verbatim. But
oh, right. So basically saying fans, that, like, it's not that bad that it's closing because the last time I was there,
he got quite a lot of abuse on Twitter.
Oh, he didn't.
She didn't. No,
oh,
but
right.
It's obviously.
No, because usually you get abuse when they interact with you on that.
Yeah, but sometimes also I love it when that happens, when you haven't even had the minute and you're like, well, you look like a dick because you've obviously searched your own name on Twitter. So
do you not remember that? I had that whole segment of the show where I talked about how Azealia Banks had done that because all the people that had tweeted about her hadn't added her.
Yes, so she's just sat there, and that happens more than you think. And sometimes when I'll look and I'll do the thing which the person will then retweet someone giving them abuse, and I think, well, okay, well, obviously please don't have a go at them. Well, you obviously want them to, but then you look at it and you go, they haven't added you. So that looks embarrassing for you now that you're doing that.
I've actually had people be mean to me on Twitter before once, and they actually at me. And I didn't retweet it because I felt bad.
You felt bad for them?
Yeah, I thought, I don't want to mug them off, but they were mugging me off hard.
Which was the guy, my favourite was the guy that wanted you to go and give him a wedgie.
He was a mate, like, not literally, but he was, you know, he was nice. He was just like, I want to pay you £2,000 to give me an atomic wedgie, whatever the fuck that is.
I was trying to do that deal for you and I said it wasn't enough. He never got
back to me. You were good in that deal situation. Like, you went hard with that deal.
I did. So that's good.
Nat's going to do a little review of something now, aren't you, Nat?
Yes, I am. It's now. No, I went to...
Basically, Nat went out without me. She didn't invite me.
I think you were invited. But yeah, I went down to... It's a new event that's opened last week in Wardour Street, Soho Soul
Town. It sounds incredible.
100 Wardour Street. And it's a new... Every single Wednesday night, it's got the biggest and best kind of night featuring
Soul Town.
Motown vibes, all night
vibes.
Cocktails. And it's, even though it's in the centre of London, you go down there, it's downstairs, it's really chilled out, it's really nice. So actually go
on
Wednesday.
Where is it, did you say?
It's at 100 Wardour Street.
Oh, that's
the name of the venue.
I think
I
know where it is.
Yeah. So you go in there, there's a bar, you go downstairs, and then they had this live band playing, incredibly good. Guys were great, but when this woman came on stage to do some motion, I think she was incredible.
Oh, really?
Absolutely incredible.
Did you have a lot of fun?
I did have a lot of fun.
Did you get drunk?
I had some cocktail. I just had some cocktails, yeah.
I thought you had some champagne.
I did have some champagne, yeah.
God, you're so bougie.
And cocktail, I know.
This sounds incredible. Can I come next
time? Yeah, let's go. I definitely want to go again because it's so good. So just get down there every single Wednesday. And it's open till late as well, so it's good.
We like that.
We do like a late bar.
So we're going to play a bit of Tove Lo in a minute, but before that, I'm just going to shout out my brother, Griffin Smith, who's listening. Hi, Griff.
Haven't
done shout outs for ages, but he just said he was listening, and he shouldn't be because he's at work, so.
Oh, no, that's good.
He's probably breaking the rules right now.
Go on, Griff.
I met a guy in a bookshop today who said, oh, what's your show like? Well, how can I listen to it? And I was like, only thing is, it's a very like quiet bookshop. I was like, I do swear quite a lot and play quite loud music. So just to double check. But he was like, yeah, no, wicked. So
So
I may well be playing in my local bookshop right
shout
now.
Shout him out.
Shout out to you, babe. You never actually told me your name.
Bookman. So shout Bookman. Out.
Shout out. Thanks for the bagel. It was really good.
Ooh, bagel.
Don't forget to send in your Desert Island Dicks. And we need your last request. In fact, we know Michael Payne's listening. So send us your... Michael Payne, please can you send us a banger that you want us to play at the end of the show? Mm. We know that you've got a... fucking plethora of bangers
He's
in that
so
head.
So many bangers.
So send us one so we can play at the end of the show. And up next, we're going to play the brand new one from Tove Lo. This is Influence featuring Wiz Khalifa. Oh, he's got two plays on today's show. Ooh. Lucky boy.
First line, take mine, I'm fine as fuck. Love myself tonight and think you can feel the same. Moonshine, good time, babe, you're in luck. Cause I will do whatever comes to mind, you go and say. Things I say don't usually come easily. There's one thing I need you now to know my name. You know I'm under the influence, so don't trust every word I say.
See the look on your face and it says that you want it later, but you ain't too in the wake. And I fly you two different places. You'll call your crew and amazing, cause they ain't doing the same shit. Barely knew what your name is. Don't care who you just came with. Make a move and get famous. Get your mission completed. Usually got a politic or entertainment, but I just got a couple things I wanna know, cause everything is moving slow. I usually wouldn't ask this though, but
you know I'm under the influence, so don't trust everybody.
Yeah.
Nasty on the phone. How's it going?
Hello, how's it going? Sorry, I lost my voice a bit.
Oh, no. Because you've been BDL skanking too much.
Way too much.
So, brand new track. It's absolutely huge. I need to shake my ass every time I hear it. Tell me a bit about what this track means to you.
It means quite a lot, you know. As silly as it might be, just a dance move, it's really getting a lot of people together.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's bringing a lot of people together to have a good time, I really appreciate that. I think a lot of the whole vibing aspect of music's kind of gone a bit. Everyone's too focused on trying to have the deepest metaphors and stuff, and
yeah,
lost the ethics of just having a real good time.
You've said before that BDL is the voice of the people. That really sort of plays out with this track, I reckon. Have you found that, like, people have responded in that way to you on this track?
100%. It's like the whole BDL movement is just about unity.
Yeah.
So the new modern age of Britain, do you know what I mean?
It's what we need right now.
And the fact that, like, I've made this, like, big global youth hostel, you might as well call it, it's like a youth hostel, because I just keep, on my journeys, I just keep adopting new people to the family.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, it's very, very uplifting and praiseful.
And you got in the studio with Show and Prove on this one. How did the track come about? Is it you made it, or did you sort of get in with people and just work it out as you went? How did it come about?
Well, my boy Show and Prove, pick him up. He played. He said he's got some fire for me. He sent it over. I was like, is that Supercat on the chorus?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. I took that sample. I was like, right, that sounds sick, you know.
Yeah.
And then obviously, man is a Rasta man at heart, you know. Oh, you know what I mean? Dra told me to put down the works on that one.
I wanted to ask a bit about Fat Man Scoop though, because I saw your video. I've saw a couple of videos with you and him. I wanted to know how you guys hooked up, how you guys got together.
I met him at the MTV awards, and he saw some of my bass base, and he was like, "Yo, son, this how you big guys are getting all the girls in the UK, son." I was like, yeah, I'm a bit of a fat Hugh Hefner. And it just went off from there.
Amazing. Is he loving BDL Skank as well?
100%. You might see a Fat Man Scoop BDL Skank coming.
This is what I was hoping for. That's kind of why I brought it up, because I was thinking it's such a tasty remix that I was hoping you might do the same for BDL Skank.
No, therefore, what about you, though? I hope you've learned your dance moves.
Oh, my God, I couldn't. You seriously, you need to come into the studio and have a dance-off with me, because I think you'd be very impressed.
I love that.
I was told a couple of friends I was interviewing you today, and they asked me to ask you something. They wanted to know what UK artists, in grime, in rap, in whatever you want, what UK artists you're repping at the moment.
Izzy Gibbs.
Oh, yes.
What I like about Izzy Gibbs, he's not from the same pond, he's from Northampton.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of outskirts of London and up north, they don't really get appreciated in the music as such.
Yeah.
Until they make a real giant impact. But hopefully, I'm trying to bridge the gap with that, because I think music's not just based in London, music is based in the world. Like, you might find a really talented person in Halifax, you might find one in Gambia, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Never thought this sexy fat kid would have came out of Brixton. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think it might be easier for people in this industry to sort of come out if you're from London and you're sort of from the ends and you can just come out and do it straight?
Yay and nay. The only thing with coming from London is your advantage is that you're local to everything.
Yes, yeah.
But where there's a will, there's a way. Everyone's made a long-distance relationship work.
Yeah, we all have. We've all been there.
Do you know what I mean?
So obviously you collabed with Craig David this year on the When the Bassline Drops. Before we go, are we potentially going to be seeing any more collabs? Because that was huge. Any more collabs from you coming out later this year or maybe next year?
Definitely. The album's coming soon, end of the year.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah, man. Big up Robbie Williams, Ed Sheeran, OGG.
Sick.
It's going to be pumped, man.
Oh my God. Pumped. Will you come?
I've got another banger with Craig called Sunshine.
Ooh.
That's going to be really nice.
Will you come in and see us and we can skank together when you release the new album?
No problem.
Yes, let's do that. This is BDL Skank. Thank you so much, Big Nasty. Woo!
You have the right to get wasted. skanking, so right. Around some people them skanking, so yes. Around town people them skanking, so right. Around some people them skanking, so
CDL
right. Skank. Around town people them skanking, so
CDL right. Skank.
Around town people them skanking, so
CDL right. Skank.
Around town people them skanking,
so CDL right. Skank.
Around town people them skanking,
so CDL right.
Skank. Around town people them skanking, so
baby, then you put your hip in.
Tropical.
Good cupcakes, call it Mr. Kipling. Right hand, move it like you're swimming.
Tropical.
Left hand, move it like you're swimming.
Tropical.
Get gas, baby, then you put your hip in.
Tropical.
Good cupcakes, call it Mr. Kipling.
Splash yourself.
Only if you're old enough. Baby, do loads of stuff. Put your hands in the air and grab your tuntun.
Yeah!
Do it cause you know you're buff.
Yes.
Pinky blow the whole room.
Tropical.
Right hand, move it like you're swimming.
Tropical.
Bill a spliff, cuz then you put your hip in.
Tropical.
Hit the bar, homie, tell me what you're sipping. Right hand, move it like you're swimming.
Tropical.
Left hand, move it like you're swimming.
Tropical.
Hit a yak, bring it to the back. Big man ting, what you sipping?
Yes!
Hello, hi.
Right.
Gotta get fly, shoots tonight. Trying to look goddamn fly. Oh, drunk and high, we got D-block in the car, I'm feeling.
Tropical.
I'm trying to air Usher in the right. Don't want no runaway bride, gotta look deep inside. I'm up feeling you, baby, I'm being real to you. Looks can be deceiving, wanna link me in the evening season's greetings, bust my nut.
Ben Tekkers!
Pinky blow the whole room. X6 go.
Brum, brum, brum.
Baby, shake your own room.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
One of the sexiest things that someone's ever said to me was when I was very much like doing the stuff, we're getting down to it. I was clearly very much getting to the point where I was just like, I want to come. You know when you get in there and you're
and
just
that's
like,
allowed.
You're like, I want this. And I think he could tell in terms of my body language that I was just like gearing up.
Good. Yeah.
But then he just stopped and said to me, he was just like, you're going to come when I want you to come. And I was just like, oh my God!
Baller, that's a nice one. Good job.
Every Wednesday.
The Hannah Whitten Show.
From 6pm on FUBAR Radio.
I can't take it no more. No, you ain't like them bitches. Tell them ones adios. And you can drop your panties. Leave them shits at the door. Dior falls on the floor. I swear we've been here before. I'm trying to see you from my own perspective. You all in my section. Trying to come to my session. We rolling up pressure. You know that we flexing. We bought all the bottles. We came with the models. Girl, it's a confession. I'm not like your exes. I came in from Texas. And now that we texting, you can fly in whenever. Now you undressing, pennies on the dresser, your hair getting messed up. The feeling we catching, my love is a blessing. Make love in Alexis, make love in Alexis. I know you remember.
Tell me, is that deja vu? Cause you want me and I want you. Tell me, is that deja vu? Cause baby, it ain't nothing, no, no.
Tell me, is that deja vu? I
you that I need affection. So let me point you in the right direction. It's so important that you get the message. Yeah. Yeah, I gotta say something to you, yo. I'm gonna roll out in that no. If you wanna do what I wanna do, well, well, I guess that it's just deja vu. Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause you want me and I want you. Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause baby, it ain't nothing, no. Nah.
Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause you want me and I want you. Tell me it's that deja vu. Cause baby, this ain't nothing, no. Leave them shits at the door. Dior falls on the floor. I swear we've been here before.
Post Malone, brand new one, Deja Vu, featuring Justin Bieber. What do you think of that?
I don't mind a bit of Justin.
Oh, I love. I really like that. Yeah, he's featuring on a lot of sick tracks at the moment.
Yeah.
We've got country music duo The Shires on the phone in a little hot minute, which we're really excited about. But before that, we're gonna talk about some news items.
Yes.
This one's great, which I enjoyed, which is the first one Joseph put in my part. Jacob. That is the second time I've called you Joseph. Oh my God, he gave me the finger. Yeah. A finger.
Not the finger.
So Amy Schumer talked about being on a period on the red carpet and the presenter like literally freaked out and it was really funny.
It's Juliana. Yeah.
Juliana Rancic.
Yes.
Who got into trouble, didn't she, for saying something on Fashion Police or something ages ago? Apparently it was nothing. It was about Zendaya.
I can't remember.
Zendaya.
I can't remember what it was now.
She was slightly... awkward comments about her hair.
Mm.
It came across very racist.
Yes, well,
but apparently it was editing, according to this article that I'm reading now. But anyway, this I just found really funny because I love Amy Schumer and I love the fact that she's just so like open about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because they say like, what are you wearing? She said the dress and the shoes, and then she said the tampon by whichever brand that was.
Yeah. And also, but just like. Juliana backing away. Did you see it?
I did see it, and I thought, Juliana, what's happened? She doesn't have any blood on you. You're going to be fine. She's wearing a tampon.
Also, is that not something that you've had? The period?
Yeah, had a period or not. Yeah, sure.
Also, Noel Edmonds has set up a service to call your pet.
Of course.
And give it life advice.
I mean, not before time, Noel.
So, basically, Noel Edmonds wants you to call your cat and tell it everything's okay.
He'll call you. You don't have to call. The cat is not going to call Noel. Noel calls the cat.
Just leave a number.
And then
it asks for the pet's breed, interests, and their phone number.
Yeah.
I mean, how many cats have their own phones? Maybe they'd have to borrow your phone.
More than we think, I imagine.
Because basically, Deal or No Deal's been axed and he's got a lot of spare time on his hands.
Yeah, but also he can help cats. Is it just cats? Is it all animals? Or is it just specially cats at the moment? He'll branch out to guinea pigs later. I don't know.
I wouldn't have thought so. I feel like it might just be cats, but
it's tough.
Maybe that's just because I'm a little bit like not sure that many people have guinea pigs, unless it's your under the age of like 11.
Oh, well, is it weird that I've got five then?
It doesn't shock me, if that's what you're asking.
I had a guinea pig, I hated it, so.
Okay, yeah. So did you kill it or something?
I didn't kill it, but obviously I waited for it slowly to die.
Okay. Well, I had African land snails, so I accidentally killed them.
Oh, okay. Why, what, like standing?
Well, because they need to be kept in a hot thing, and I thought they were dead, and they weren't dead, and I put them outside, and then it turned out they then died.
Oh, okay. We're just murderers, really. That's good.
Well, you're even worse, because you slowly watched your guinea pig die.
Honestly,
without giving it any love. I loved those snails.
I fed it.
I deeply loved those snails. You didn't love your guinea pigs.
No, it was a bitch.
Yeah, fine, I murdered them, but I didn't do it deliberately. It was an accidental murder.
I've never liked rabbits or guinea pigs. They both were just evil.
Do you even know what a giant African land snail is? The fact that you haven't even questioned that
I just thought it was a snail.
A giant snail.
How I don't know how.
Like the size of a
tortoise.
Yeah, like bigger than a tortoise. Well, tortoises range from
serious?
Like tiny to a giant African land snail is about the size of a small football. They're big.
I mean, snails are horrible. The horrible things. Why would you want one?
Well, it's a giant African land snail. It's not just a normal snail.
Please don't tell me you cuddled it or kissed it or anything like that.
It's a fucking snail, Nat. Of course I didn't cuddle it.
But what did you say? You loved it. What did you do with it?
I talked it to it. I chatted. And, you know, you can love someone without touching them.
Did you take it for walk?
Jesus, look how your mind works. You can't love people without touching them inappropriately.
It's gotta be some touching. Well, who said inappropriately? What, cuddles inappropriate now?
Talking about touching inappropriately, Paul Hollywood has decided that he's going to be sticking with Great British Bake Off.
I saw that, and there were people are going nuts, aren't they? Going, Judas is a traitor.
Well, no, but the thing is, it's just going to be him and a tent.
Yeah.
And that costs Channel 4 £25 million.
I know, they'll find a couple of other presenters for it.
Is Mary Berry not doing it?
No, she's not doing it, and Mel and Sue aren't doing it. So
we knew about Mel and Sue because we talked about that on the show, but I didn't know that Mary Berry had said no.
She said she'd like to stay loyal to the BBC, which is jolly nice of her, I think.
Well, they'll probably just do the Bake Off on BBC. They'll just make a different version of the same show,
surely. Often when presenters have sort of defected, I remember when Trini and Susanna did from the BBC was What
Not
to Wear.
Oh, Trini and Susanna.
And then they went to ITV, and I think that didn't really go as well. Didn't Gok Wan do something like that? I may be wrong, but there's
Jonathan
presenters
Ross left the BBC.
But he
was kind of forced to leave the BBC, to be fair.
Adrian Charles and that Susanna Reid, when they were on the one show, thought, oh, I'll pop over to ITV. They give me a nice deal there. Didn't do very well. Did it on the old breakfast show.
I mean, I can't say I know that much about their breakfast show, but
I watch it because I like to listen to music. I like to listen to your show in the morning.
I'm
Harriet.
Sure. I hope you do every morning. Just listen
to
repeats of my show.
I do repeats and through the night. I go to sleep with it.
Is that just so you can hear your own voice?
Yeah.
I'm going to buy you a giant African land snail for your birthday.
Please don't do that.
Because I feel like it would be a good animal for you to have because you don't need to. It's like one thing that you don't have to cuddle and kiss.
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to.
Well, you would. You're not supposed to cuddle and kiss a snail.
Do you walk it?
Yeah.
You take it for
walks? No. You
I
keep it inside
that.
The fucking tank, I told you, because otherwise it dies.
Okay. No, well, that's cruelty. Anything in a tank, that's cruel. It's cruel.
Well, how? You're saying fish are cruel. It's cruel to have goldfish.
Yeah. It's what, sorry?
Are you saying it's cruel to have goldfish?
No, because that's in water, obviously. Well, actually, maybe it is.
It's in a fucking tank, Nat.
It is, yeah, that's true.
Right, we're going to be chatting to the Shires right now. Are they on the line?
They
am I chatting to the Shires?
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello, you are.
We're having a three-way conversation, which is my favourite. It like reminds me of the 90s when they first brought in three-way telephone calls, and it's like the most exciting thing ever. How are you guys doing? You've got your brand new single My Universe, which I checked out the video, which was absolutely incredible. Really, really emotional song anyway. And then obviously you've teamed up with the It Can Wait campaign, which is about texting while driving. How did that all come about? How did you sort of link the track with the campaign?
You know what? It was actually that we had a lot of pitches for the video for that song, and Daps, the director, we just absolutely loved his pitch. And he's actually a UK director, but based out in LA. And we went and shot the video. And when we came, for us, the line is, you know, you only get one life, and I want to live it. So, you know, you've got to kind of live your life, you know, and enjoy it. And it for us, seeing that video, it was like your life can be taken away in just a moment, you know, from simply texting at the wheel. And you know, that I think that kind of was the main reason that we wanted that kind of storyline.
Yeah.
But when we came home, actually, on Facebook, we saw this It Can Wait campaign all over Facebook, and we were like, oh my goodness, can, you know, we didn't plan that at all.
Yeah.
It was like, we shot the video and then came home and saw all of it. And, you know, our label reached out to the It Can Wait campaign and said, look, you know, we've just shot a music video, which is, you know, very similar to your campaign. And, you know, we'd love to work alongside you. So that's kind of how it all came about.
Well, I think it's a really important thing to be raising awareness of, and also because you guys are so popular in the music scene, it's making it even more relevant to your fans and to the young people that listen to your music to see that and sort of viscerally know even more how important it is to not, you know, use your phone while you're driving.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think you know, even for us as well, I mean, you know, it sort of hits home every time I drive the car now, and you sort of, I hear my phone go off in my pocket, or, you know, alongside me in the glove box or whatever, and you just, you know, every time I think it can wait.
Yeah.
It can just wait. And, you know, I think we've had great success in our first album, but it's really nice to be able to, you know, use this single and also just, you know, make it bigger than just the music, and you know, try to really help people and impact their lives as well, because it's definitely helped me, and it's definitely made a massive impact on me personally.
Yeah, when I watched it, I felt it's a very emotional video, and also the song packs a punch as well. You know, it's really sort of a deep and emotional song. Before all this, what did the track actually mean to you guys? Obviously, it's going to be different for both of you, but like, where did it come from for you guys?
It's a love song essentially. Mm. And, you know, I think the good thing about any good love song when you write it is, you know, it can mean something to you at the time, and then it can definitely evolve. Like, I think, you know, when I wrote it with a guy called Martin Brammer, it was just, we just went, let's just write something which, you know, he wrote about his wife and I wrote about my fiancé. It's just, let's just be, you know, just that. But then,
yeah,
since then I've had a baby since then, baby River. And, you know, when I think, aww, about the lyrics now, you know, I look at his little face and I think, you know, you're my one, my all, my universe. You're everything to me right now. You know, obviously his mum, I still love her as well. But, you know, it's, any good love song kind of evolves like that.
No, definitely. And it really shines through. And also, it's nice for the audience to kind of have that element of, you can see what you want from the track. It can mean so many different things. Obviously, you followed up Brave, which was your debut album. You've now got the brand new one coming out. Tell me a bit about this album. Is it a similar vibe to Brave, or is this a totally new sound for you guys?
I think we're still retaining very much a Shire sound, but we feel like we've moved on quite a big step. I mean, we've performed a lot of arenas recently, on tour with The Corrs and a big country band called Little Big Town.
Amazing.
And we realised that we just want to make the song sound much bigger. And I think My Universe is a track that definitely does that. And, you know, we want to bring that big show to our audience, you know, when we get up on the stage. And the songs that we've written have kind of reflected that. You know, there's some really upbeat songs like My Universe and Beats to Your Rhythm and Thousand Hallelujahs on there. And then we also have some really stripped back songs, which is where Ben and I really started, you know, with the tracks like Brave and Black and White.
Mm.
You know, they were ballads, and that's what Ben and I feel like we sing best, you know, when you can just hear our voices completely stripped back. And,
yeah,
you know, there's some personal songs on there as well that are about our dads. And that, strangely, we wrote at this around about the same time, but had no idea each of us were writing those songs, and,
oh,
and
really?
They both feature on the album beside each other.
Oh wow, that's lovely. It's really nice to have that sort of personal input as well. Obviously, you know, you can't really write. I mean, I'm not a music writer myself, but you can't really write music without those personal things coming into it. And you guys must be sort of on cloud nine. You know, you were the first UK country music act to ever have a top 10 album with Brave. You're following it up with another incredible album. Do you just feel like really excited at the moment, ready to sort of roll on to the next album and get out there and touring again?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, touring is just—it's amazing. It's where you really get to see the impact that the songs have on fans. I mean, the amount of sort of Twitter and Facebook messages we get from fans saying how much the songs mean to them on the first album, Brave, in particular, the actual song itself that got one of our fans through recovery from heart surgery, and she came up to us in Oxford.
Wow.
And she said, you know, that song has really helped me through. And, you know, you just kind of know when you're up on stage and you're singing those songs, and you can see people singing them back, but also just see, like, you know, just the look in their eyes of how much the songs mean to them. And, you know, there's so many parts of the process that are so much fun. Like, you know, in Nashville, going to the studio with all the musicians and, you know, getting all the mixes together and then doing the radio shows and everything, that's all amazing. But I think when you're actually up on stage singing the songs live, I still think it's the best place to hear music. And, you know, I love going to gigs, but I actually love being up on stage so much. And, you know, the fans do so much for us. We look out at them and it just, you know, it makes it all, it's all worthwhile anyway, but it makes it so worthwhile seeing their faces in front of us singing those songs.
Well, definitely, I can imagine. Well, Wick, thank you so much for coming in to have a chat with us. I know you guys are so busy right now, but could you introduce your brand new single for us?
Yes, so we are The Shires, and this is our brand new single. It is called My Universe.
Thanks, guys. Hopefully see you soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks very much.
To be joined by Tom from Wild Beast on the line. How's it going?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you.
It's very exciting time for you guys. Boy King is now out. And I wanted to ask you a quick one, because this, I found a little quote in NME and it really, I really enjoyed it and I wanted to ask you about it. It was describing the album as the actual sound of shagging itself. So Tom, elaborate, tell me more about how Boy King is the actual sound of shagging itself.
I'm pretty sure that quote wasn't attributed to us, but I'll take it on anyway.
Well, I think the magazine picked up on the kind of like the nastier, libidinous kind of things of the record. You know, the kind of the feel of kind of like sleaze and I guess like decadence in the old fashioned like French sense.
Yeah.
So like, I think, but I mean, this record, like, I guess is like I think it's quite a cruel record and quite a kind of like it's kind of a cathartic response to the kind of like cynical times we're living in, you know what I mean? So it kind of like, it's definitely like, whereas like our older records were kind of like full of love songs and kind of like, I guess, lullabies even, like this is very much like a rock record.
This is straight, you know what I mean? This is more straight up, like straight,
I think so,
straight fucking, you could say, if, well, you were being really rude.
You definitely could, but I think there's something to be said, the kind of like self-loathing to it as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
what I mean? I think while it's kind of satire, we're also kind of reveling in it.
No, totally. And I personally, I'm absolutely loving it. It's kind of a slightly different sound to what I'm used to with you guys.
I think that's fair.
That like a deliberate thing from your side, or was it just a natural progression?
It was kind of deliberate, you know. I think we did want to make something that had a bit more like anger and grit to it, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, I think it was a lot more divisive, I think, like, in, you know, we thought it was completely consistent, but I think maybe now we put the record out, it's maybe a little more, it turned out to be a little more divisive than we appreciated, but then that's fine, you know. That's what we should be doing as like quote unquote artists, and especially ones who've been around a while and frankly should know what we're doing by now.
100%.
Yeah. I think it's certainly kind of like a disruption to what people maybe expected or wanted from us. I think that definitely should be in our locker.
But I think as an artist, you need to sort of have that element of change to keep things exciting for yourselves, because you know you're absolutely,
and also frankly the element of doing what you were going to do regardless of what anyone thinks of it as
exactly.
Well, I think that's a really important thing to remember.
And it's come out as a great album as well. And there's some really cool videos. You guys are sort of known for like releasing pretty good videos, intense, like fun. You basically aren't boring with your videos, which I absolutely love. Well,
very
it's my favourite thing ever, is because I love music, of course, but when you see it visually, it just makes it so much more impactful. But you guys seem to have a lot of fun with your videos, whether it's that it's got more of a serious tinge to it, or even if it's a fun one. I just wanted to ask, do you guys have as much fun as I do watching the videos while you're making them?
Making videos is labor intensive, and it's, you know, normally when you're a musician you do things at your own schedule. Like I got them ready, but it's actually like I'm cameras on you now, you know what I mean? So it's different, but certainly if we don't have it hard compared to the crew who make it.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly like, I don't know, like the one Forget My Bang was like, you know, an all-night shoot in freezing temperatures, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In Belgrade, and like the one in the last month of Big Cat was like 2 days shooting, again, in the cold in Barcelona. Who knew Barcelona got so cold? But yeah, but again, it's like kind of like, if they come out fine, nothing else matters, do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to be able to, you've got to be prepared to take the rough of the smooth.
And do you feel like it's a good way to express sort of how you guys feel about the records by putting them into sort of such deep videos, you know?
Well, I think it's an opportunity to do something good, do you know what I mean? I think you can't gone are the days where a music video was an afterthought, do you know what I mean?
I think
it has to say... Well, I mean, you know, we're no longer... you know, we're no longer kind of hemmed in by MTV, do you know what I mean? So you can kind of do, you have a lot of freedom, and also you have to, it becomes part of the overall thing, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, while totally.
It's funny because you have to pick your collaborators carefully, because we're not filmmakers, do you know what I mean? We have to like work with people who think can help us get there, do you know what I mean? But I think, you know, it's certainly when they turn out well, it can be really wonderful.
What's your favourite video that you've worked on? Like, even if it's just the how much fun you had on set, what's the favourite video you've worked on?
Oh, wow.
It's a difficult question, I know.
It is. One I'm happiest with, I think, is probably the Simple Beautiful Truth record from the last record.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think it's kind of, it's gloriously ridiculous. I think Klaus had directed it, you know, I think like he got the tone exactly right.
Yeah, definitely. It's a fucking...
We'll have to make ourselves look ridiculous.
Yeah, know? But that's the most important thing, right? I think that's what I would do if I was in a band like yours.
Well, you know, almost daily instances of making music full time where you just have to take your courage in both hands and just go, well, fuck it, we can do this now.
definitely. So you're off on tour. Well, you've been playing a lot anyway, but you're going around the UK end of this month and beginning of October. You're then off to Europe after that. Tell me, what is the most exciting thing that you look forward to when you're doing these types of tours?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, I really love playing live. I feel like I leave a lot of the real me on stage, you know what I mean? And all the kind of, like, anxieties and difficulties don't exist for an hour and a half or something. But, I mean, this record especially is totally a rock record, and the show is totally a rock show. You know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff happening, and, like, you know, I'm, like, playing a lot of, like, ridiculous guitar solos and pointy guitars and that kind of thing.
Amazing.
You know what I mean? It's a fun and cathartic record to play for us. And It's I'm hoping it's going to be a fun show for everyone, because we really enjoy playing this one live.
But that's so important, I think. I think that will come across so well.
I hope so. I think it's very easy to just go through the motions. But I think, I think audiences can tell if you're actually enjoying it or not.
And I saw you've already sold out the Roundhouse in London, which is incredible. What a great venue
Really pleased with that. Really, but we were out the second date as well, just because we needed to. Which is really awesome. Yeah, we're really pleased.
It's so good. Have you played there before?
We have, yeah, and we did way back when the iTunes Festival wasn't essentially wasn't the Grammys. We did play the iTunes Festival one time, and we supported someone else there, but no, we'd never actually headlined the thing.
That's so exciting.
It's brilliant. It's an amazing venue, and, like, it's, you know, you put quite a lot of people in it as well, so I think it'd be a lot of fun.
You can put quite a lot of people in there, definitely. So obviously on tour things go wrong, you know, you can get on stage, mishaps happen. I was wondering if you could tell me what the weirdest thing is that's ever happened to you guys. It doesn't have to be you personally, but wild beasts while on stage. Have you had any sort of fan invasions or any?
We've had stage invaders wanting to touch us, and we've been bottled off, and we've had the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? But generally, amplifiers breaking. Like, we have, like, synth sound that you're on a computer with a keyboard connected to it. If computer says no, it's just like, well, I'm afraid we can't play now. You know what I mean? So, like, that happens a lot. I mean,
do you think that's character building?
Oh my God, it's crucial. It's crucial. Like, certainly. The fire is absolutely essential. Do you know what I mean? Also, people understand as well. Like, people, things do go wrong. You know what I mean? It's not like it's things are happening in real time. Do you know what I mean? So I think that any kind of, like, disaster, as long as you handle it with handle it with good grace, I think it's going to be absolutely fine. But certainly, we've had pretty much everything.
You've had one of all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we go, what's your and this is a really hard question, and I hope you don't mind trying to answer it, but what is your favourite track on Boy King?
Oh God, let's see. I would, if I had to use, I'd probably say between Ponytail and Alpha Female.
That is very lucky, because that is the song that producer Natalie has chosen to play for you at the end of this interview.
Brilliant. That's great news.
Before we go, we play a little game on this show. It's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island Dicks.
And in this game, I'm going to have to ask you to answer on behalf of the whole of Wild Beasts on this. But
okay.
I'm sticking you on a desert island, and I'm sending you there with one awful, awful song. One that perhaps you've listened to too many times, or you just hate it straight up. And that is your Desert Island Dick. So, Tom, on behalf of Wild Beasts, can you answer me what your Desert Island Dick would be?
Oh my God, wow, that is a really tough one. You know what, I actually like this. I know it's terrible. You know the Backstreet Boys song, I'll Never Break Your Heart?
Yes.
Which contains the lyric, when I asked you out, you said no, which is just, that's pop music. That's from top
that
to bottom, that's what it's about.
You are going to that desert island with Backstreet Boys. That is incredible. Well, thank you, Tom, so much for coming to have a chat with us. Guys, go and get Boy King now, and make sure you head out for the tour, because it's going to be epic. We're definitely going to be joining you in the Roundhouse. We can't wait.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Wicked. This is Alpha Female. Cheers, Tom.
Awesome. Pleasure.
Bye.
Ask a shaman, ask a priest. I'm learning. I know the least. Alpha female.
thanks for coming on the show. Big Nasty, Divinity Rocks, and all of our guests for today. We are finishing off with this week's last request from Simon. It is The Killers, Mr. Brightside. Catch you next week, Thursday, 4 till 6 p.m.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.